This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You're back in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. A very good Friday to you. We're just a few days away from the start of round three, the Calder Cup playoffs here in the Eastern Conference.
Are we sure about that?
Oh, I hope so, man. There's a lot happening and a long layoff here for the Rochester Americans and the Rocket Laval. We welcome in Patrick Williams, who covers the AHL for AHL.com and NHL.com. And we've spent a lot of time, Patrick, in the last few days talking about this layoff and how unorthodox it is for these teams to have to play a game, a very meaningful postseason series after more than a week of a layoff here. Is this, I'm trying to remember, I don't remember this being kind of like standard practice. It feels different this year than in years past.
Yeah, it is. They adjusted the playoff format, I guess it was 3 years ago now, and yeah, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit not the conventional format. I mean, I know that last year, for example, the Hershey Bears, their first 41 days of the playoffs, they played six games, and then they got to the conference finals, and then it was basically every other day for a month. So there's a lot of different ways that coaches try to handle it, but this is, it definitely is unconventional, especially when you're a team like Rochester and you blow through your first round there with a three-game sweep, you definitely get yourself a lot of time off, whether or not you want it.
Patrick, just if it's a developmental league, I get it for like the four or five matchup, even for the first round, but for these divisional finals, why not make this a best of seven? Why not give these kids a little more of an experience?
Yeah, I know that's it's been discussed at different points. I think they're still trying to kind of find their way with this format. The whole idea behind the format is you want more teams in the playoffs, more players getting experience, so on and so forth. And the main reason that they're not best of seven at this stage is simply because if some of those early series go long, and you're as it was last year, the playoffs didn't finish until June 24th. So if you get another couple games on to each round, all of a sudden you're pushing into July. So, it's difficult this time of the year as well with arena availabilities and also trying to get as many games as possible on the weekends. There's a lot of different elements to juggle. And I think that's essentially what it all boils down to.
All right. So knowing that it's a best of five, but then also knowing that it's a 2-3 format, not a 2-2-1 format. And there's a report in Montreal that this was actually up for debate, that Laval and Rochester were given the choice, and Laval wanted the 2-2-1, but Rochester took the 2-3 format instead. Did you see this report out of Montreal? And if that's so, I mean, if it's policy to go 2-3 outside of the 100-mile radius, why was that even brought up for debate?
Yeah, I did see that report. Essentially at this point, it comes down to saving money, saving wear and tear, travel, that sort of thing. And you know, I've seen it go both ways where you do the 2-2-1 or you do the 2-3, and you know, sometimes the higher ranked team, you know, it works out well for them. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, if you go on the road and you lose two games, you're coming back home and you're playing for your season there before it's game three. So on the other hand, if you can jump and even get a split on the road, then you're coming back home and you have three games to you know really try to close out the series. So you know, I don't know how much of that at this point of the year too is all also some gamesmanship, right? You know, kind of like if you know, your opponent wants to go one direction, you automatically want to go the other direction just to kind of get into each other's head. So, you know, I think at this stage of the postseason, I don't read a whole lot into it. It's also the time of year, too, when you start getting a lot of media from outside of the AHL who don't quite follow things, you know, on a regular basis, so the pot tends to get stirred up a little bit more.
Yeah, Patrick Williams, who covers the AHL, our guest here, and Patrick, one of the reasons, and we're not going to pretend, right, of like, we had a discussion, hey, who are the top three contenders for the Stanley Cup, and we'd have a fun debate. We talk about Toronto, is this the year? Man, Dallas mm-hmm. looks really good. America, I had no idea. So, like, there are eight teams sure. left right now in the American Hockey League. In no Korean favor, not here in the sports bar, but just your honest answer. Give us the three top contenders for the Calder Cup, in your opinion.
Well, right now, I mean, the tricky part is, like, you can get a really good team, and you can see your season fall apart in a couple games. You know, you run into a hot goalie. Like I'll give you an example. Charlotte last night, or two nights ago, 40 shots on net. They run into the goalie of the year in Providence. They lose. Now, you know, so they're a team that's a legit contender. You know, I would certainly put Rochester up there, you know, provided Devin Levi continues what he's been doing. I certainly have every reason to think he can. I think a lot of people think this is maybe a little bit of a walk for Laval. I don't see that at all. Certainly with a guy like Levi, he's very much an equalizing force. And so, you know, if I had to go right now, I can't take the Hershey Bears off the list yet. Back-to-back champs, I think it's theirs until somebody takes it away from them. I'll go Laval number two, and out west, I would definitely go with Milwaukee now, provided they can kind of extract themselves from what they've gotten themselves into, you know, being on the brink of elimination as well.
And you cover the entirety of the AHL, so even in the Pacific Division, you're paying attention to what those teams are doing. I feel like we always hear about Coachella Valley as the team that's mm-hmm. in the finals out from out west. I mean, what can you tell us about the Pacific Division? Is there anything interesting with any of those teams?
Yeah, well, you know, you have the Abbotsford Canucks, who got seven players back from Vancouver at the end of the year. They'd already had a 13-game winning streak late in the year. I mean, I've always said this for as long as I can remember. This is a league of streaks, good and bad. And if you can kind of hit your stride at the right time of the year in the playoffs, you can go a long way. Coachella Valley, certainly back-to-back finalists as well. They're up against Abbotsford right now. Colorado Eagles, they were the Pacific Division champs, top team in the West during the regular season. So they're in the mix. It is a little difficult, though. You're right. In this league where, you know, East and West see very little of each other. And so, you know, these are teams that you largely just kind of you see in the standings, but you don't really see on a regular basis. It makes it difficult to really get a kind of a sense, you know, where everybody stands. And that's what I try to do. I really do try to keep the entire league, you know, under the microscope and really get a sense of, okay, you know, you've got Rochester, you've got Laval, but you've also got these teams out west. Where do they all stack up?
Patrick Williams, our guest here. You can read his work, AHL.com, NHL.com, and other places. And Patrick, like, we have this discussion because 2 years ago we felt really good about this Amherst team, and they ran into the eventual champion in Hershey. And but that year you had Malcolm Subban, and nothing against Malcolm Subban. And then last year an early exit, but is the difference this year, you brought up Levi and you wrote about Levi here. When it comes to goaltenders in the American Hockey League, is he right up there at this point, or the situation in Laval? Where would you rank Levi right now in terms of this league?
In this league right now, top three, at worst, top five, with the potential. Honestly, I think he can be the top guy in this league. The right circumstances, the right matchup. He's legit. For anyone that hasn't spoken with him, a great head on his shoulders. And I think, unlike a lot of young players who want to be in the NHL yesterday, he's really embraced the whole idea of going to Rochester, taking his time, developing, getting the number one workload there. It's not all about, well, I want to be in Buffalo right now. It's okay, I'm in Rochester. My focus is here. I'm not paying attention to what's going on in Buffalo. And you don't get that from a lot of players. You know, he's 23 years old, very mature though, beyond his years. And certainly a player that, this can be a big stepping stone for him, right? Like, obviously with Buffalo, there's, a lot in flux, to say the least, a good playoff run, even, a championship run. You certainly wouldn't be the first goalie to use that and catapult him, to a full-time job up top, for years to come.
Patrick Williams covers the AHL for AHL.com and also NHL.com. Patrick, give us a little bit of color on the Amerks' opponent here in the North Division in Laval. We know about their regular season. We know that they won the division, and we also know that Montreal is out of the playoffs, so wondering about the reinforcements that they may have gotten from their parent club. The atmosphere there in Laval we know will be electric come Game 3. Tell us a little bit more about the Amerks' opponent here coming up on Wednesday.
Yeah, Amherst fans, I think, will be familiar with that environment from a couple years back when they met in the playoffs. Hasn't changed one bit. It's a loud, raucous environment. Not unlike Rochester in the playoffs as well. So kind of the big story with Laval right now is they brought in Jacob Fowler, kind of their answer to Devin Levi. Right out of Boston College, came in, stepped in for Caden Primo, who came down, mid-season from Montreal and was 21. He won 21 of his 26 starts with Laval. So kind of a bit of a two-headed monster there in net for Laval. They're young, but very well coached. Pascal Vincent, I know him from my time in Winnipeg, coach of the year twice now, including this season. Very well structured. And just a team that they play with a little bit of feistiness, right? Like, they can definitely get under your skin. There's a lot of, that kind of after the whistle, poking. And, so the Amherst really have to be disciplined. But the Amherst, they have a heck of a team as well. So I think this is a series that definitely will go five games. I think anybody that thinks Laval's just going to walk over the Amherst, I think, is probably mistaken.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Yeah, it's boy, it would have been a lot of fun right after the Four Nations tournament to have a team that has Americans across their sweater and going up to Canada against. Don't know why they're not the Laval Canadiens, or maybe they rename the team at this point. I mean, you don't think other people are going to pick up on this, you know, little interesting story between the Americans and the Canadiens, do you, Patrick?
But there will be a lot of focus there, you know, especially with the big team, Montreal, you know, done for the year. All the focus now turns on, you know, the Rocket. Laval's only about 20 minutes outside of Montreal, so it's essentially within that market. And you'll have a full building, you'll have the TV, the media, the whole kind of, the whole nine yards there. So it'll definitely be a different environment for the Amherst to walk into. You know, maybe from, you know, what it was last round for sure, but they can handle it. I mean, you have a really, really good young coach there in Rochester, and, you know, a team that's, you know, I think they've been through some of these battles, some of these players 2 years ago with Hershey. And yeah, this is a team I think Amherst fans definitely should get behind, because I think they're a team, if they can get past Laval here, you know, I think there's definitely a pathway to the finals.
You mentioned the young head coach of the Rochester Americans. We get the chance to talk to Mike Leone every week here on our show, and we have our impression of him. But I'm curious of what your impression of him, what the rest of the league's impression is of Mike Leone, because to our eyes, and I think to a lot of fans, he's a bit of a departure, a bit of a left turn from what they had in previous years with Seth Appert.
Yeah, he is. He's, I mean, Seth Appert, you know, really, you know, did a lot of good work there. Got a lot of players ready for Buffalo. Great developer. Leone's a lot the same way that, you know, any coach today now has to have that development aspect to them. Very straight shooter. You know, kind of a what you see is what you get type of coach. That's certainly the reputation he's built early on. And you know, a team that's well organized, which is really tough in this league, right? With the way the rosters and you know, turnover changes, and you got a lot of players, you know, on any given team that have you know different objectives sometimes. And he's been able to corral that, get it in kind of a nice organized format there. And you know, kind of a team that every night you pretty much can expect a you know, pretty poised performance. And I think that poise is something that really stands out with this Rochester team, that you know, that's difficult with young players sometimes. And you know, kind of, you know, if you believe the adage that, you know, a team takes on the personality of its head coach, I think that the Amherst have definitely done that with Leone. So, you know, first year coach, I think he's stepped in and he's, you know, done a fantastic job. He, you know, hadn't been, you know, pro head coach before. And he, you know, that's a huge adjustment for anyone. And he's come in and I think really turned a lot of heads with what he's done there.
Yeah. Last one for me, and it's a little different, but the American Hockey League, looking ahead to next season, are you hearing anything about any affiliate changes, any different markets? This used to be very common in this league. And gosh, I go back, you know, many years, and remember the Binghamton Whalers and the Utica Devils, the Capital District Islanders. I mean, there are a ton of teams, but are you hearing anything different for next year, Patrick?
No, it's pretty stable. It's been that way for the last few years for the most part. I mean, you're right. You used to get, you know, four or five affiliation or market changes every year. And, you know, the league worked a long time to really get that, you know, stabilized. Now that, you know, you have just about every team kind of in a really sensible geographical location, that was the huge push, you know, about 10 years ago, obviously going to the West Coast. So there aren't really a whole lot of openings now. You know, I know that there's a lot of interest from prospective owners out there that would like to buy a team and maybe move a team into their market, but there's just not much happening. You know, the Amherst were, you know, with Buffalo, you know, going all the way back to 1979, they were kind of one of the first teams that really you know, got that geographical fit with the NHL club. And it took a long time, but you know, the rest of the hockey world, NHL, has pretty much followed suit. And so I don't expect anything dramatic at all. You know, I think you know, you're probably going to have to wait till NHL expansion at this point to really see any sort of real movement again.
What do you hear about that expansion within the NHL? I mean, you see teams like Utah and you see teams like Seattle, and of course Vegas winning a cup already. I mean, they seem to fit in just nicely, and the expansion draft makes it so that they're competitive right away. Are you hearing about the NHL looking into other markets? We hear lots of rumors, but nothing really substantial.
Yeah, I sure do. I mean, I hear the same rumors you're hearing. I mean, you know, certainly, you know, you look at a market like Houston, and, you know, it's a longtime AHL market as well. Really good, solid fan base there. Good corporate base, obviously. A lot of transplants, with the oil and gas business there, from Western Canada. So, you know, you'd kind of be walking into a, you know, pretty good situation there if you're the NHL. Atlanta, obviously. Has come up a lot, building plans there. I think Phoenix at some point, if they can get their building squared away, will certainly be back in the NHL. And then kind of that fourth team would be maybe a little bit of a wild card at this point. But, you know, certainly as the NHL goes, the AHL goes. So if you get three or four expansion teams, well, the AHL will certainly follow suit. And, you'll start to fill in that map a little bit more. It's, you go back to the days of the Binghamton Whalers and University Devils. I mean, This league from what it was then to now is, markedly different.
Talking Calder Cup playoffs with Patrick Williams, who covers the AHL for AHL.com, also the NHL at NHL.com. And before we let you go, I mean, we're talking Calder Cup. What about the Stanley Cup? How are you enjoying the playoffs so far this year, Patrick?
Oh, it's been incredible. You know, like I covered the Winnipeg Jets for 5 years, and, you know, seeing that game last Sunday night, I mean, you know, I think, you know, just like the rest of us, you're just watching that, that finish and, you know, kind of just, you know, just a jaw dropping finish. And then the night before you had the Dallas Colorado game, and now you have Rantanen with back to back hat tricks. So, that first round obviously is always kind of wild. And, you know, now you're seeing, you're down to the final eight, and now now things really get real. It's been a great start so far. I mean, three Canadian teams still going, which is obviously big news for the league. And we'll see where this whole thing goes. But it's playoff hockey, right? So, you never quite know what you're going to get, but, we'll stay tuned, I guess.
Who do you like?
I like Florida. You know, I know they're in a jam right now, but, you know, like for a team that's down 2-0, has to win four of the next five, like, you know, they seem very kind of poised right now and composed. And I think they could easily get back in that series. I mean, of course, if they do, that would only exacerbate the tensions in Toronto, which are always kind of at a fever pitch anyway. So that would certainly be a storyline. And then, yeah, you know, I think Florida and, maybe we'll get Florida Edmonton repeat, right? Like, you know, Edmonton, you know, takes two games in Vegas and they're looking good. Dallas, obviously getting through Colorado, that was a huge step forward. And so maybe we'll get Florida Dallas, I guess we'll have to stay tuned. But, it's funny, like just with between the Calder Cup playoffs and the NHL, you don't always think of May and June as kind of being, you know, the busiest time of the year, but in a lot of ways it really is. And, you know, it's a great time of year if you're a hockey fan, and, it's a nice way to go into summer for sure.
Yeah, I think Amherst fans would love to be busy in the month of June here coming up, but you got to get by Lavelle first. Patrick, tell everybody, our audience, where they can find more of your work.
Yeah, so I'm at, as you mentioned, I'm NHL.com and the AHL.com, also Flow Sports, which they broadcast all the games around the league, and on Twitter at P. Williams AHL, real simple, so handle. So, always talking hockey, talking AHL, and yeah, I mean, second best league in the world. Amherst fans know what they have there, and they have a good thing.
Patrick, appreciate the time. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You got it. There's Patrick Williams. He covers the AHL and the NHL, AHL.com, NHL.com. You can find his work online, and really nice having him on with us to give us a bigger sense of what's going on here, what the Amherst have in front of them, not just with Laval, but potentially the rest of the AHL as well.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, if you asked any Amherst fan, oh, gosh, it's either Laval or the Amherst, and then Give me the top three. Hershey, Laval, and Milwaukee. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Well.
Yeah, you can't argue that.
Because
though.
Rochester has to show that they belong. They have to put up or shut up. We've been here before. We know what this looks like. We've been to the Eastern Conference before. We know what that looks like. You want to be considered one of the top three in the league, you got to make it to the final. You got to get past the Lavals and the Hersheys and see what you're made of against those teams out west. I believe that this is going to be a special run. Well, I believe that. We will see how it all shakes out starting
if
Wednesday.
If they get by Laval and now you get to a best of seven with Devin Levi.
Yeah.
Short series is so dangerous. So dangerous.
It really is. I mean, even if the unlikely happens and the Amerks win their first two games at home and they beat Laval Wednesday and Friday night, go to Laval with a 2-0 series lead, you can't say it's over until the series is over. And we felt the same way about Syracuse, right? Wow, they beat Syracuse 2-0. They dropped the hammer on them 4-0 in game two. Did anybody predict that the Amerks would win game three by the same result as game two? Nobody predicted that. You can't predict
what's
gonna
happen. You're going into the third period and you're only up 1-0. Okay. Right. Like you're thinking, okay, hold on to. Oh, we got this. Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Wednesday night, it all gets underway at Blue Cross Arena. Of course, if you're not able to go to the arena, we encourage you to go to the arena and support your local home team, your Rochester Americans. You can hear the action here on your home of Amherst hockey, the Fan Rochester.
Yeah, we've got time for your takes. Our phone number, 866-4FAN. If you'd like to talk Amherst hockey, like to talk about how we deduced who the Buffalo Bills will open up against.
Yeah.
We'll have Sal Capaccio joining us next hour as well. And danger, it's never too soon to start thinking about fantasy football.
You're right. Scott Pianowski of Yahoo is one of our favorites. He has given us his top five fantasy football offenses now that we have rosters that are like 99% solidified going into training camp. Mm. So who does Pianowski at Yahoo like? Who are his top five teams? And where does he have the Buffalo Bills ranked? We'll share that with you, Gino. Think about it, and we'll come back and lay that out here. And we'll also be joined by Sal Capaccio, as you mentioned. He'll be joining us here in about a half an hour or so. Rookie minicamp report and his conversation in the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with Sean McDermott. We'll break down all of that coming up here next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.